Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
All right, we want to talk to you a little bit today. Don't have a lot of time, but we probably won't get through all of it. We've been talking about wilderness, water, walls, and today we're going to talk about what? Whoppers. Wilderness. We talked about children of Israel being in the wilderness. Water. We talked about them going over the Jordan and how the miracles began to how they were happening in the wilderness with the daily bread, the manna falling, and then in the water we saw how they went across dry land instantly, just because of the power of God. And then last week we talked about the walls of Jericho. How many of you remember about the walls of Jericho and your trumpet? Does anybody remember what your trumpet is? There you go. The Bible says that, when it says they blew their trumpet, that word blew means to clap as well as to sound the instrument. So your trumpet, you don't have to have a shofar, but your trumpet is this right here. So whenever you're facing anything that is difficult, blow your trumpet. Yeah, I just love when you start discovering things in the scriptures that it just blows you away. Saying, "Nah, that doesn't work." Well, such as your faith, be it unto you. That's what the word says. I believe the word, don't you? Today we're going to be talking about whoppers. What about whoppers? Well, it's the only W word that I could find that sort of carried along with it the word giant. Oh, it didn't go anywhere. I'm telling you, it really didn't. But that's okay. That's okay. It's the only one that's working with this thing. Today we're going to be talking about the giants. You can have the Jericho moments, but you don't have those all the time. I mean, sometimes you can just do that, and all of a sudden boom, it's just instantly happened. And then sometimes you have to fight a giant. You have to pull down some strongholds, some things down brick by brick instead of it all just falling down. And we need to understand that God is at work in all of them. Do not despise small beginnings. Amen? Because God can use very small beginnings to do greater things. But we should be able to stand and walk with God in the things that we're saying, "Well, no, not today, but I am confessing it." Right? Because I am a child of God, right? So we begin to understand that He is at work in all the things that's going on in and out of my life. We question God a lot of times. So why did this happen? Well, you may not know why. But the question is, will you follow Him as you go through it? So that's what we're faced with. Will you walk with Him as you go through it? We begin to see that God is wanting to give us the promised land. The children of Israel was going into the promised land. Our promised land is the kingdom. Our promised land is the kingdom. We don't have a certain land that we have, but we do have the kingdom. And we need to learn how to operate in the kingdom. The less we know how to operate in the kingdom, the less we're going to be able to do in the kingdom. But we need to do the kingdom things His way, the king's way, right? But we have this thing approaching us that we face oppositions all the way around. We just turn around. We're facing this thing, facing that thing. We're going to be talking about the giants in the land, and we're going to be talking about what it meant. We probably won't get through all of this today, but we're going to be talking about the giants that the children of Israel faced, and we're going to talk about what they were. What these groups of people that we're going to be talking about, they have a name meaning and they meant something in the scripture, and they behaved a certain way in the scripture. And you begin to see that as they were, we face some of the same giants in a spiritual aspect. We face some of the same giants, and we need to know what it is that we're facing. Paul says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices or the schemes of the enemies. Now, when we become ignorant of his devices, we do not know how to do a warfare of victory, a warfare of victory, because we don't understand the enemy. We don't understand. We don't know what we're up against. So we're going to be covering some of that today. But we need to understand that these whoppers are the whoppers in your life, my life, that we face, that we need to understand what it is that we're facing and how do we face it and how do we overtake it. See, we're overcomers. You know, when the Bible says that we're overcomers, you know what that means? We have to overcome something. We have to overcome. See, that's the reason we're overcomers, because we have to overcome something that is in our life, something that is in our midst. But anyway, we begin to see that at the beginning that the children of Israel were needed to go into the promised land. And you remember the 12 spies? They sent 12 spies out. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Hey, man, let's go get this land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It takes two people to tote one cluster of grapes." Now, next time you're at Ingles or something, pick up that cluster of grapes and think, man, what God says we could have, it takes two people to tote. Now, for those of you that are from somewhere else that does not know what tote means, that means to carry. But so they had to take two people. But he says, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. A land flowing with milk and honey. And he said, I want you to enter into it. I want you to take it. It's yours. I'm giving it to you. You know, and then, but they had to search out the land. And I've got news for you. Some of you are still searching out the kingdom. You're still spying out, not searching it to find it. You're still trying to spy out the kingdom to see if you really want to be all in or not. Even though you're born again. I just don't know if I want to. You know, what will they think? It doesn't matter. They think that already. Yep. You probably don't even know what they think about you. Probably a whole lot worse than what you think it is. But it's okay. But some of you still spying out the land, wondering what you see in the kingdom is, oh, man, this is going to cost me. Gift of salvation is free. Everything else is going to cost you. So some of you still spying out the land, see how far you want to go in it. God's calling you deeper. This song about deeper, God's calling you deeper. God's wanting you to go further than you've ever gone, done things you've never done before. These people that are going to these different countries, they're going to be doing things that they've never done before. And I'm not talking about just going to that land. I'm talking about that God will be doing things through them because they are submitted to God. You know, God is really not, he does not need my and yours and my success. He doesn't need it. Okay. Those of you that are trying to be successful, he doesn't need your success. There's nothing wrong with trying to be better or whatever, but God doesn't need your success. He wants your surrender. If he's got your surrender, everything else is going to be fine. But if you try to be successful that does not include him, he doesn't need that. He doesn't need that. He wants your surrender. He doesn't need your success. He wants your surrender. How much are you holding back? How much is it that you've looked down into the kingdom, you've looked down into the promised land, and you've seen this and this? Oh, then, my goodness, if I was to testify about how good the Lord is to me, it might cost me my job. They may think I'm a religious fanatic. They may think I'm crazy that I fell off the deep end. I can't pray for these people. I can't pray here. If I pray in this store, people's going, you got, we're spying out the land. And sometimes we come up with these bad reports. And the bad report is, I can't. I'm not going to be able to do it. So what's your bad report? What bad report are you seeing in the kingdom that is not true? But what it's doing is hindering you from answering your call. And it's also influencing others not to answer theirs. Because you're giving the bad report of you can't. I'm not able to. I won't be able to. Why hasn't God done this? Why hasn't God done this? And I'm not done that. And I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to do that. All those are the bad reports that we give of the kingdom of God. And he doesn't want us to give bad reports of the kingdom of God. He wants us to go in and spy out the land. He wants us to walk right in after being born again. He wants us to be able to walk in there as a new creation, a new creature, to learn how to do things. And when he says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. No, that's not for today. Well, that's one of those lies. We'll say it's not for today until we need it. And then we'll pick up a phone. So we have a little bit of hypocrisy, you know, in our walk when it comes to that. So what is it that's holding you back? What is it? What is the giant? What is the thing that's happening in your life that keeps you on the skirts of the edge of the fringes of the kingdom and not deeply into the kingdom of God? Because it is the gospel of the kingdom of God that's supposed to reach this earth. They're not taking just the gospel of salvation. They will talk about salvation to people, but they're going to be talking about the gospel of the kingdom. What is the gospel of the kingdom? You know, it's everything that the kingdom's about. Most people say, well, it's just too good to be true. It is on the natural, but we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Why is it faith? Faith in what God said, he'll do it. See, we have to be at that place to where we're saying, you look, I've got to stop spying this thing out, and I just got to go on in and take it. Does that make sense? Some of you are on the fringes and you don't know what to do, and you're like, well, you know, I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to be known as that, whatever that is. I want to walk with God, you know, and I want to do things for God, but I'm only going to go so far, you know. So what we're doing, we're having limitations. We're putting limitations on how far we'll go. And God is saying what? Come on. Come on. Come on, follow me. Come on. You can do it. Come on. Don't let that hold you up. Don't let what them people said about you hold you up. Don't let how that church treated you. You hear me? I mean, there's some people that's been hurt from church. I mean hurt badly. Why? Because they don't know how to operate in love. So the question is, you know, how far are we going to go into this kingdom thing? Everybody say all the way. All the way. I mean, we need to be a people that's all in. I'm all in. Not holding back. Why? Because the enemy will put the very thing that he thinks. See, how many of you know that Satan is not all-knowing? He only knows what he's been told. Some of you have been telling him way too much. Some of us have been telling him way too much. Well, I can't. And he says, I agree. You can't. God says, yes, you can. It's about whose report will you believe? Well, I got a diagnosis. I understand about diagnosis. I thank God for doctors, and I thank God for hospitals, and I thank God for medicines. I thank God for operations. I thank God for all of that. But I know who the final healer is. And I know his report. So a lot of us do not know about the kingdom of God well enough to be able to operate in it freely. We talk about being free. You know, we're free. We're translated out of the darkness and into the kingdom of light. You know, being born again, that's what happens. Translated out of the darkness, walking in darkness, can't see, can't do anything, don't know where we're going, can't even figure things out. Out of the darkness into the light where we can see things, where we can know things and how we can operate, how we can walk into the light. But, you know, the Bible says he did make you a new creation and a new creature. But the Bible also talks about in Romans 12, 1 and 2 that we are supposed to worship him with everything that we have. And he says, do not be conformed to this world. Well, let me ask you, is he talking about China? Is he talking about Russia? That's not your world. That's in the world, but that is not your world. Your world is where you live. He says, do not let this world conform you or mold you into its image. We mean its image. What it thinks you need to look like and how you need to act and how you need to be. But he says, don't let it. Which means what? You can let it. No, well, that can't happen. Yes, it can. That's when he says, do not let this world conform you. Do not let this world squeeze you into its mold of what you think, what they think a Christian should look like. Well, you can do this, but you can't do this. Well, what did God say about it? You need to be politically correct. No, we need to be biblically correct. And if politics don't like it, they're just going to have to learn to live with it or put us in jail. No, Pastor, I don't really like you to talk about going to jail. Neither do I. Who wants to go? But when it comes down to it, there may be a line drawn in the coming days, in the coming years, that says, you can't talk about this. If you talk about this, we're going to shut it down. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're just going to keep talking about it. Or we will be a compromiser. Have I got to the first slide yet? Nope. And I got 30 of them. Or somewhere around there. I don't really know how many. Got a lot. See, this awakening to the very oppositions that we face, if we do not understand the opposition we face, we're not going to be able to navigate around it or through it or over it or under it, because we don't understand it. So what's going to happen in these teachings, what's going to happen about this teaching, and probably next week as well, but we're going to have to understand what is the principles. Do you know that when your life is governed by these principles that's in the kingdom of God, some are the commandments, and then we have principles. This is what you need to do. Do you know that will build your character? And we've learned that character is His glory. Somebody said, what is the glory of God? It is His character. That's what He showed Moses. Moses said, let me see your glory. And what did He show him? His character, His goodness, His mercy, His long-suffering, His character. His character is His glory. And when you want to glorify God, here's how you glorify God. Let them see more of Him in you. That's how you glorify God. Y'all with me? See, that's His character. So when we get these principles so deep into the Word of God, into us, we're so far into reading the Bible during the week that it's almost pitiful in some cases. And I'm not being mean, I'm just doing a matter of fact here. I mean, I don't know how much you study the Bible, but when you look at the stats, people hardly ever open their Bible from Sunday to Sunday. Why is that? Too busy. Among other things. And what the enemy wants to do is starve us from feeding on the Word of God, so we won't have the intellect, so we won't have the revelation, so we won't have the impact that the Scripture has upon us for us to be able to walk through it and walk it out. You know, the salvation's in you, but Paul says you need to work that salvation out. God's already worked it in. God's done what He's done, and you've said, yes, hallelujah. And then He says, work out that thing that's inside you, that salvation that delivers. Work that out through your soul, through your body. Your mind, will, and emotions, let it be what you think. Let it be what you act, and let it be what you say. Let it be how you move and have your being. Why? Because he wants us to show forth His glory. How are we going to show forth His glory? He's going to show forth His character. Right? And when you're faced with something, said, oh, you know, you need to, you can do this, and you know, it's everybody does it. But you can go ahead and do this and it won't matter. But what does His character say? Don't do that. It'll cost you. See, where some of us are still spies. Joshua and Caleb, they were a spy, but they came back. We're going to get it. Let's go take this land. I want that land. God said I could have it. I want it. Or he said, well, you know, they said, you know, their perception, 10 of his perception was this. Oh, We saw the size of those dudes. And when we looked at them, and then we looked at ourselves, we were as grasshoppers. I mean, that's enough to keep you from going. And you know, it kept a whole generation from going, and they all died in the wilderness except the younger generation. Why? Because they believed a report that wasn't from God. They took it in. They accepted it. Why? It was easy. It was easier to stay put than it was to move forward in the things of God that he wanted to give us. So most of us saying, God, I want this, I want that, I wish I had this. And he said, well, get up and start moving. Get up. Get up and move into this kingdom. Get up and move into the things that I've given you. But there's giants. I know there's giants, but go get them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, one of the biggest enemies, I'm not going to get to my slides. You may as well know that. One of the biggest enemies that they fought a lot, and they fought them at harvest time, was the Philistines. Do you know what the word Philistine means? To wallow in the dust. To wallow in self. Ooh. So what is one of the spiritual forces that we are going to come up against? We're going to come up against this thing called self-pity. Oh, whoa. Woe is me. I'm just a gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression. See, you're singing the songs of the Philistines. The Philistine, you know, well, you know, that poor you, they shouldn't have never treated you that way, Martha. They should have never treated you that way, Martha. They should have, poor Martha. Poor Martha. Why did they do that? Why did they do that? All of a sudden, it's like, okay, now what are we singing? We're singing the song of the Philistines. Self-wallow. Self-wallow. Wallowing in the dust. The dust is flesh. Out of the dust, he made flesh. Dust represents the flesh. So you're wallowing in the flesh. You're just wallowing in self-pity. Anytime you start feeling bad about yourself, you know, it leads you to depression. Leads you to be down and out. Why? Because we're singing the song of the Philistines. We don't even understand that we're facing this enemy, and he's overtaking us. Yet we're still Christians. We're still born again, but we're not. See, the Bible says, Paul didn't just say, don't be conformed. He said, but be ye transformed. Everybody said the word transformed. So you can be translated out of the darkness into the light and not be transformed. The only way you're going to be transformed by the renewing, not renewal, it's not a one-time thing, by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you're beginning to think like God thinks. You're beginning to think the kingdom thoughts. You're beginning to look at the kingdom ways of handling things, the kingdom ways how the Spirit leads us. So don't be conformed. So if you're not being transformed, formed, in other words, the metamorphosis from this change to this change, from glory to glory, from character to character. If that transformation is not happening, you're stuck. You're stuck in your walk with God. And in the process of knowing and being transformed by the renewing of your mind, he says, so that. Everybody say, so that. Why would I want to do that? Well, number one, it's transformation. What's another reason? So that what? So that what? So that you will prove. Do you know you can prove what the will of God is? That's what my Bible says. So that you can prove the will of God, the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. You actually can prove what the will of God is no matter where you go if you're in the process of being transformed. You're not in the process of being transformed. You cannot prove what the will of... That's the reason people walk around, I don't know what the will of God is. I don't know what the will of God is. I ain't got a clue what the will of God is. I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Well, there's no transformation happening. Why? There's no renewing. Y'all got it? So we can do this religious thing all day long. And the enemy loves that because he knows we're just spinning. We're not going anywhere. We're just, we got the RPMs. We got them cranked up. We done hit all the gear. We moving, but we ain't going anywhere. Why? Because nothing of that has taken hold. We're just spinning because while we're not doing it. Yeah, that's when he said the knowledge that you have that you do not act out, you'll be puffed up with. The knowledge that you have that you don't act out, you will be puffed up with. It will puff you up. Why? You'll be it. Tell me. You'll be it. I'm it. Well, what is it? Well, I'm here. You know? We need to understand that when we're in the process of being transformed, because we're getting all the word in us and we're letting that word soak us in such a way that it becomes who we are. That's becoming one. That's the reason you can say you know the word. You know the word. It's why it's becoming one with it. Becoming one with the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word became flesh. How much of the word is becoming flesh inside you? How much of the word are you fleshing out? How much of the word are you really acting out in your body, in your verse, in your words, and in your thoughts, and in your behavior? How much of the word are you acting out? So that is the word becoming flesh. Instead of, look at what we know. Just being puffed up on what we know. Have you ever thought you knew something, and all of a sudden, God in his divine way sent somebody your way and went, pop. All of a sudden, you go, well, I know all this. And all of a sudden, somebody was sent by God to burst your bubble, and you begin to look and says, let me pick up what I knew. I got to pick up all these pieces of what I knew. No, Jesus told us, he said, don't only just know the word, hear the word, but be ye doers. That's the word. Be ye what? Be ye doers. Doers. Doing the word. Doing the word. Why? You're doing the kingdom. Doing the kingdom. Having a great time in the kingdom. That's the reason people can do all of this. They can sing all the songs. They can jump up and down. They can do everything they want. They can play up here. They can do anything and still go home and act like the devil. Are you hearing me? Why is that? Got a bunch of knowledge, but we're not doing it. You got me? Or you can go to the job and you're just like everybody else. They can't see any light in you. Why? Because you're not bearing the light. You've got your light up underneath the bushel, a man-woven thing that keeps you hidden. Why? Because I don't want to be spotted. I don't want to be seen. We need to be people that wherever we walk, you know, wherever we go, somewhere without ever having to say a word, they know something's different about you. Have you ever had that happen to you? Are you a Christian? And never said a word, didn't you? You're a Christian? I don't know why you ask. Well, this and this and this. I had a man that wanted to pin me down in a theological debate one time, and very recently. And he started bringing all this stuff, and every time I'd give him a scripture, he'd dodge it and deviate and get into something else. And I knew, I said, you know, God, it's a religious thing going on here. You know, and finally he said, well, I just want you to know that. He said, I guess you know where this is going. And I said, I ain't got a clue where this is going, so you might ought to go ahead and enlighten me. You know, he says, well, I'm Pentecostal holiness. I don't have a problem with Pentecostal holiness. I'm not making fun of them. I'm just saying, you know, I'm Pentecostal holiness. You know what I said? Well, I'm Christian. He said, well, I am too. And I said, well, you didn't say that. You said just Pentecostal holiness. You can be Pentecostal holiness and not be Christian. Ooh. It's time to go. I really didn't want to end on that note. Let's see, what's the next slide? Let's look at one. What does it say? Oh, there we go. We're going to be talking about this next week. These things, he's talking about the Old Testament and the children of Israel. These things happen to them as an example for us. So don't throw away the Old Testament. You need it. These things happen to them for the example of us. These things were written down as a warning and correction for us who are living in the closing days of history. Oh, my goodness gracious. We're living in the closing days of history, and we need to make sure that we hear the example, learn from the example, and see the new covenant as well, and see how this thing works, and get at it. I didn't mean to yell at you, but I sort of did, didn't I? We need to get busy. True? You know, don't throw away your Bible. Well, no, I'm just a new covenant person. Well, I'm a new covenant person, but he said these things were written for my warning and an instruction. Give me an example. Don't do that. Don't believe a bad report because it'll kill off a whole generation. You got it? You better start believing the report of God. What does God say about it? That's where we are. You may be the only one standing on that territory at the time that you bring it out. But you and I have got to be able to stand alone, and you're not alone. You're with him. And he's with you. When you're the only one left standing to serve God and to walk with God and to do what God wants you to do, you stay there. Because there is a great reward for you. This world needs people, needs Christians that are growing up in his kingdom and being transformed. So no matter where they go, grocery store, filling station, job, neighborhood, church, wherever it is, that they're making a difference wherever they go. One person at a time. One person at a time. Why? Because we all have the light of Christ inside us. Do not cover this thing up. Do not cover this thing up because you're afraid of what it's going to cost you. There's a whole crowd that left him just because. Listen, Jesus can thin a crowd just as much as he can draw them. I'm telling you, he can thin one as quick as he can draw them. He had a whole hillside of them. He turned around and they'd done been following him for this, following him for that. And he turns around and he says, hey, if you're going to be my disciple, I got news for you. And every news he gives you is good news. I got news for you. If you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And I've used this example before. Me and Terry Wilson would be on that hill. Or me and Pastor John would be on that hillside. Did you hear what he said? Yeah, I heard him. Are you going to do that? I ain't going to do that. Well, let's get up and get out of here then. And the Bible says that the whole hillside, the whole crowd left them. And it tore the disciples up. Why? Because they're all leaving. And what do? They get a little worried. And they go to him and say, listen, Jesus, let's see if we can polish. Let's see if we can be just a little bit more politically correct. Let's see if we can say this in a different way. So the whole crowd don't leave us. What you just said is a hard saying. Jesus turns and puts his entire ministry on the line. Why? Because he's about to give them the door that they can walk out of just like they did. He's putting everything on the line. And he says, what about you? Same goes for you guys. If you're going to follow me, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. In other words, you're going to have to have him inside you working because every fiber of your being is going to be like him. You, what about you? What'd they say? Well, we've calculated this thing. We ain't got nobody else we can turn to. We thought about this. I think we're gonna stay with you. Why? They've seen him. What's God done inside you? What's God done for you? You've seen him work. You've seen him deliver you. You've seen him heal you. You've seen him provide for you. Hadn't you? Raise your hand if you have. Well, where else have you got to turn? You got to know where else to turn. You already know it. And so what is this? When he gives you a hard saying, I know what he can do. It might be hard, but we're going to go through it. And the Bible says those that left, some of the saddest words in the scriptures, those that left, they never followed him again. Never followed. Of that whole group, they never followed him again. Spies, I spied this thing out and I heard that. I'm gone. I'm out of here. That's the reason we have so many weak Christians, because we stabilized ourselves on salvation and not on perfection, on being perfected and being matured. And that's the reason we're so weak and anemic, because we're still sucking the pacifier after 20 years. Don't applaud for that. I shouldn't have done that. Listen, we don't do that in the natural, but spiritually we do it almost every day. God said, that's enough of that. I want you to go into the very promises that I've given you. I told you they're yours. I've told you you can have them. I've already cleared out everything. I've already done everything. I've already given you the victory. I've already defeated Satan. I've done all of that. Now I want you to start living out what I've already done. Just live out what I've already done. Well, it's 12:13. I'm going to sit here and wait till it turns 14 and then we'll go. No. Listen, I love you. I really do. Thank you so much for being patient. Thank you so much. But like I said, I got about 30 slides. We'll get into all this and we'll start it next week, or we'll do part two next week. And if you're not here next week, you're not going to get it. No, you can listen to it on the podcast and all. Anyway, don't let the enemy talk you out of what he's already put in you. Don't let him. Amen. How many of you ready to go forward? Just moving forward from this day on. You're ready to move forward and to grow even more so in the Lord. Just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Somebody may go home after today and out of this service today saying, you know, I never saw him one time read out of the Bible. And I quoted a lot more. Oh, me. He's wonderful. Your days as a Christian is about to change. You're about to enter into places, all of you, all of us, you're about to enter into places that is beyond your wildest imagination and your wildest dream. And he's going to be right along with you. But understand this, there'll be enemies, there'll be giants at every one of them. You will either back away or you will move forward in taking what he's receiving, what he's given you, and overtaking the enemy with the sword, with the word of God. How many of you are ready for that? Father, in Jesus' name, you see all the hands. You know that what we're up against. You know what we're going to face today, later on today, tomorrow, and all the rest of our lives. But God, in Jesus' name, we lift our hands saying, here am I. I'm ready to walk with you. I'm ready to go deeper than I've ever gone. I'm ready to take ground that I've never taken before. It's ground that you've given me. It's ground in the kingdom. I'm ready to do things I've never done before. I'm ready for you to work through me in ways that I've never experienced before. I'm ready for you to bring salvation through people by the witness that I give. I'm ready for you to bring healing to people by the prayer that I pray and the belief that we have. I'm ready for you to deliver people from the demonic realm by the very power that you put in us in the name of Jesus. I'm ready to be like you. I'm ready to show forth your glory and your character So, Father, we surrender. I know you're not wanting our success. You're wanting our surrender. And today we give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Is there anyone here that does not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Anybody? And you want to say, I want to give him my all today. Anybody? Okay. Okay, we're all family. Missionaries, thank you so much. I don't know if you'll be able to come back or not, but you're always welcome. Amen. God bless you. Let's give God praise.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.